Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Al Gonzalez is a man of integrity, decency, and principle. And I have reluctantly accepted his resignation with great appreciation for the service that he has provided for our country. As Attorney General and before that as White House counsel, Al Gonzalez has played a critical role in shaping our policies in the war on terror, and has worked tirelessly to make this country safer.
Yesterday, I met with President Bush and informed him of my decision to conclude my government service as Attorney General of the United States, effective as of September 17, 2007.
Under this Attorney General, sadly, the Department of Justice had less credibility than even FEMA.
You rat.
Under Alberto Gonzalez, the Department of Justice is a sinking ship.
You backstabbing, knifing rat.
The President now has an opportunity to right the ship and chart a new course. I hope and pray he does so. We Democrats want to work with the president to
get him off my. Get this weasel off my. I can't take Schumer of all of them. Now, the fact of the matter is, Gonzalez is a nonentity. Probably never qualified to be attorney general. But who of them are? They're basically the president's lawyer. In terms of what he actually did, it's marginal compared to the murder of 78 men, women, and children in a church in Waco, Texas, which Janet Reno did. And, of course, that's forgotten by Big Shoe Schumer. Big Shoe Schumer, of course, has a selective memory, as do all of the Democrats. The fact of the matter is this is going to backfire on the Democrats because they picked on the only Hispanic member of President Bush's cabinet. Put aside all the rhetoric. It's all politics. There's one Hispanic in the cabinet that's prominent. That's Alberto Gonzalez. And they bring out another minority, Bigfoot Schumer, to put the knife in his back, to stab him, to bring him down, and it's a shame. But the fact of the matter is the Democrats have just shot themselves in the foot because the intelligent Hispanic voter is going to put two and two together together pretty quickly. I have nothing more to say on this. I wasn't a Gonzalez fan. I wasn't against him. I wasn't for him. But the fact of the matter is the guy did nothing wrong. It was a witch hunt conducted primarily by Bigfoot Schumer. And it's nothing, as I say, whatever he may have done, nothing compared to killing 78 men, women, and children in Waco, Texas. Janet Reno should have been given a death penalty for what she did. She oversaw that. She instituted it. She directed it. She killed them. She skated. She's somewhere in the landscape of America in a pickup truck with AstroTurf in the back with her lady friends, so far as I can judge. But that's not the biggest story of the day anymore. That was this morning's news. In fact, it was this morning's news at 6 in the morning. I'll tell you the news of the day. You want to hear the biggest story of the day? It's a shocker. It's a shocker. Thank God I start late in the day on the West Coast, early evening on the East Coast, because the big stories seem to be rolling out at this hour. Larry Craig arrested in June in a men's room at Minnesota Airport. Now you say, what? Who is he? Well, he's a senator from Idaho. He was a conservative old boy kind of guy in the 90s. He was pretty big on the Ruby Ridge thing, real like kind of roughneck type, and all around good guy. Then he started getting very liberal over the last number of years. I had no idea it was connected to the men's restroom story. But I don't know that it's connected to the men's restroom story, but let me read it to you from a Roll Call magazine. It broke about an hour ago. Senator Larry Craig, Republican of Idaho, they're just what they needed right now, the Republicans, from jailbirds to some other kind of bird in a few months. Larry Craig was arrested in June at a Minnesota airport by a plainclothes police officer investigating lewd conduct complaints in a men's public restroom, according to an arrest report obtained by Roll Call Monday afternoon. Craig's arrest occurred just afternoon on June 11 at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. Pleaded guilty to misdemeanor. He says it was a misunderstanding, that it was a he said problem. He said it's simply a he said misunderstanding. At one point during the interview, Craig handed the plainclothes sergeant who arrested him a business card that identified him as a U.S. senator and said, "What do you think about that?" The report states. Senator Craig was detained for approximately 45 minutes, interviewed, photographed, fingerprinted, and released, and police prepared a formal complaint for interference with privacy and disorderly conduct. Whoa, he had it bad. I mean, if this is true, what is with these guys? They can't control themselves and do it in private? What's with the restrooms with these people? It's a mix-up. It's a he said situation. Now, some gay fascists had supposedly outed Senator Larry Craig in October of 06. Some gay fascist right out of the Roman legions did this to him. But the bio of Larry Craig is very interesting. He's a Republican from Idaho. He oversees funding on the following subcommittees. Serves in the public sector solutions to global warming. Children's health protection. Always children's health. He's a co-chairman of the Congressional Coalition on Adoption. There it is again. Helped to found and lead the institute working on adoption issues. As a Westerner and former rancher, Senator Craig plays a leading role in the formation of natural resource and energy. This is sort of like a, this is like Brokeback Mountain coming. He is married to the former Suzanne Thompson. They have three children, two sons, Mike and Jay, a daughter, Shay, and nine beautiful grandchildren. Oh, God. Oh, my God. What do you say with a story like this? What you say is the American people are so fed up with hypocrisy. I almost said hypocrisy. We're fed up with hypocrisy. Now we're fed up with hypocrisy as well. I got many other stories. I'm not quite ready for them. Real good ones. Oh, yeah. I got beauties for you today, but I'm not ready. I think I'm going to tell you about a dream I had because I'm a time shifter. I realize that my dreams are time shift reality paradigms. And I had a dream that was astounding. I'll tell it to you. You can call about public restrooms if you want. What is this with gays in public restrooms? Why? Why does a man need to do this in a public restroom? He never heard of the privacy of his own home, a Holiday Inn. I mean, what is this? Why would a U.S. senator do this in a restroom if it's true? I mean, he's arrested and booked. He hasn't been found guilty yet. I admit that. It's only hearsay. Anyway, so here's the dream I had. Here's Savage's time shifter dream. Exactly as I dreamed it, because I take enough B6 to remember my dreams in color. I'm walking in the Italian district of San Francisco, and it's a repetitive dream because it's one of my favorite places on earth, if not the most favorite place on earth. And I'm walking around looking at all of the stores and the restaurants. Now, in my dream, the district that I love, the North Beach Italian district, always is a little more hilly and a little more Italian than it actually is, although there's hills there. So I'm walking around. And I run into my friends and I tell them, I'm taking you all to dinner tonight. Now, I only have one friend, but in the dream, I had more than one. And I said, get all the guys together. I'm going to take you all to dinner. And I said, we start looking at the dumps and the smaller one. I said, you know what? I don't want to go to the dumps. I'm taking you to the best Italian restaurant in that area. And whatever you want, the drinks, they're all on me. And then out of nowhere pops Rudy Giuliani as a waiter going to work in that restaurant. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. This is no attempt to cast aspersions on Mr. Giuliani. He's a waiter in the Italian restaurant, and he's going to work in the waiter's uniform, and he says, he's like my best friend. We, like, know each other. And he says, Mike, I'll take good care of you at the table. Don't worry about it. I'm glad you're coming in. But he says, Mrs. Giuliani wants to go to dinner with you, but she's, like, very shy. She was a very young woman in the dream. So I said, don't worry. Mrs. S. is there. She'll talk with her. End of dream. I don't understand this. Why would I want to, why would Rudy Giuliani be a waiter in my dream? I don't get this part of it. Who knows? Who could have thought a dream is? This is the problem with time shifting. You know, you don't know what's what. I see that the Soviets under Putin are becoming like Stalin. They're putting people in mental hospitals and drugging them again. I don't understand that one because President Bush said he looked in the man's eyes and saw his soul and said he's a good man, as near as 2 years ago. Putin is Stalin all over again. It's like this. It's not even political prisoners they're putting away, which is bad enough, and drugging them so their minds go in the Soviet Union. Let's say the guy is in an apartment. There's a couple in their 70s, the story came out. And someone wanted them to move out of an apartment. They wouldn't move out, so the neighbor said that they were crazy. The psychiatrist showed up with police, had them arrested, and put them in a mental hospital. And then the apartment was seized. Can you believe this? What's going on again in the Soviet Union under Putin? The bare-chested macho guy? I mean, this is frightening, this world that I'm living in. It's crazier by the day. The whole thing's crazier. So if you expect me to get excited over anything, you're mistaken. It's so bad. It's so mixed up. It's so corrupt. It's so filled with hypocrisy that I can't even unravel this ball. This ball of corruption and hypocrisy is so bad, there's no way to pull a thread out of this one. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the big story this afternoon is Idaho Senator Craig arrested in June at Minnesota Airport. It broke, you know, not too long ago on roll call. You're saying, well, why make an issue of it? Why not? Well, what, are you going to sweep that one under the rug? What is this with these Republicans? You know, he was very, very conservative in the 90s, the mid-90s. I remember Larry Craig, Idaho, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, everything was like liberal Larry Craig. And I said, what is this? Something's wrong here. But, you know, none of these issues really matter. We can't do anything about it. I mean, I hope he's innocent, and I hope it's, you know, resolved soon. You know, there's only one real question on my mind right now, which is this. I'm going to make a Michael Savage bobblehead for the holidays, and I don't know what sound bites you want me to put in there. I'm thinking of putting in what, you know, like the bobbleheads are funny. My friend brought one by that he's somebody, I can't mention his name, but it made me laugh hysterically. You shake it and the head shakes. I said, I got to make one. People have asked me for years. I'll make a Michael Savage bobblehead for the holidays, and I'm going to put in either liberalism is a mental disorder or get off my show soundbite, or I don't know, borders, language, culture. I don't know which one to do. Get off my show. Which one do you want me to do? You want to talk about Craig, Schumer, public restrooms, dreams? You want me to talk about science? Which way do you want me to go? You want me to talk about science, poetry, art, politics, dogs? There are certain topics I can do very well and others I know nothing about. I cannot talk about nuclear physics. I cannot talk about cats. I cannot talk about plumbing. I cannot talk about electrical work. I can't do much about carpentry. There are things I don't know. Then there are things I do know. And what I know very well. And what I don't know, I don't talk about. So what would you like to talk about? Boise, Idaho. Well, there's a Larry Craig story coming up. Justin, go ahead, please. What do you hear up there? What do you know? What do you say?
Dr. Savage, this has been going around for several years, this rumor about Senator Craig, and unfortunately I voted for Senator Craig, and it comes as a big disappointment.
Wait, what do you mean this rumor? What do you mean rumor?
Internet message boards on electronic sites around Idaho, like the newspaper message boards and things, there's people that post on there that are in political circles here, and they've rumored for years that Larry Craig, or for a couple of years I've heard that rumor that he was gay, and of course you know about the gay blogger that come out that said that he was had proof that he was a homosexual, but equally disturbing has been Larry Craig, as you mentioned, he's come out in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. He suddenly shifted gears and became a very left-wing senator, and I was wondering what was going on with this guy. You think somebody was blackmailing him?
That could be. All I know is that him and Simpson, and really Idaho, has taken a shift to the left for all their rhetoric. I mean, yeah, they voted for a lot of Republicans in this last election, and they tout themselves as the reddest state. But when it comes to this—
Well, but here's what's going on in Idaho. You got a lot of people from California moving up there, getting larger pieces of land, and bringing their polluted politics to your state. I'll tell you what's exactly going on. What's going on in Idaho is what went on in Vermont when the polluted New Yorkers moved up to Vermont and took a Republican state and perverted it into a red diaper dopa baby enclave. They turned the green Vermont into the red Vermont, and they're turning the red, white, and blue Idaho into a red Idaho.
What are you going to do about it, Dr. Savage? What's going to happen?
Well, what do you mean? There's nothing could happen. You're going to get an influx of Californians from L.A. and San Francisco who bring their sick politics to your state and impose them upon the good old boys and ruin your state. That's what's going to happen. It's going to become like the Vermont of the Northwest. Thanks for the call. Oh, God. What do you want to talk about here? Look at all these calls here. Schumer. Play Schumer again. Why does he make my flesh crawl, Bigfoot? Bigfoot
Under this
Schumer.
Attorney General, sadly, the Department of Justice had less credibility.
All right, get him off my show. This guy's wildest dream, excuse me. He has one dream only, Schumer. This man has dreamed about this since his bar mitzvah. There's only one dream Schumer has. Judge Justice Schumer on the Supreme Court. That's all that's on his mind. I'm sure this guy is not corrupt. I'm sure he's not corruptible. He's even more dangerous than a corrupt politician. He's the most dangerous kind of politician. He's the ideologue. He makes Ruth Bader Ginsburg look like a stone Republican, this guy. This guy is a clear and present danger to the survival of our republic if he should ever become. See, his dream is that Hillary becomes president. He's done all the dirty work for them for years. Whenever they need a minority to come out and attack a minority, it's Schumer they call upon. They go down there to Sheepshead Bay and they get Bigfoot. And he comes out and he rips into Gonzalez or he rips into a black. That's how they do it. I know how the game works. It's a standard thing in the courts, let's say. If you have a black criminal that you want, they bring out a black judge. You got a Jewish criminal, it's usually a Jewish judge. Hispanic criminal, you get the Hispanic judge. That's the way it works if you ever notice these things. I've noticed this for 20 years. I see everything. Nothing. You can't walk a fly by me and expect me not to see the fly's compound eyes. You know what I'm saying? I know what a fly's eye looks like. And I also know what a politician looks like. So Schumer is used to hit minorities by the Democrats for obvious reasons. But his dream is to become a Supreme Court justice. He would make – see, he thinks he's in the mold of Felix Frankfurter, but he's more like Harry Hamburger or more like Francis Bacon's illegitimate brother-in-law, which is a name I can't repeat on the show because it's a family show. It doesn't begin with B and end with N. I'll be right back.
Savage.
God, I think I'm getting jaded as I get older. Now I'm really getting jaded. It's so awful. Both sides of the aisle, the stench is so awful. It's just awful. It's worse than the Roman Colosseum. Yeah, I mean, Bush's ratings are in the toilet. He's, you know, it's like 29, 30%. Congress is 14% under these fraudulent Democrats. You don't know where to turn. You turn nowhere. No one cares about the election, incidentally. Let me give you a little hint. They're flying around, private jets. They're going to save the country. No one listens to this. It's an insider game, and the schmucks on cable television pay attention to it. Nobody else cares. I talk to people. They're reasonably intelligent, well-informed. They don't care about this. They know it's all hot air at this point. So that's why I don't really want to pay much attention to all of these people. It'll come down to one against the other there. It'll either be Romney versus Hillary or Giuliani versus Hillary, and then they're going to start in with who's going to be better for America, you know, with 9/11, who's going to be tougher on Islamofascism. And then the other one will do Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. They've been doing it for 20 years, the Democrats. Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. Now they're calling it a universal health care and a global warming. But it's the same thing, Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. That was their message in the 70s. You know, you give more to the loser and you get more losers to vote for you. If you get enough Jerry Springer wife beaters to come out from the rehab center to vote for you, you're in. And that's how a country degenerates. Now, the fact of the matter is that if you're a Jerry Springer wife beater in rehab, you should lose the right to vote. That way the country could maintain itself. To me, once you're on public assistance, you don't vote. You regain the right to vote when you're self-sufficient, period, end of story. Why should you have the right to vote if you're on welfare? Of course you're going to vote for any demagogue, left-wing crackpot who says he's going to give you something for nothing. I would do it too. But that doesn't mean I, as a taxpayer, want to give you something. I want to give you nothing. You're already robbing me blind. 50 cents of my dollar goes to you. Who are you that you should take it from me? So, you know, that's why people are disenfranchised by all of this. Now, what do you want to talk about? I got so many good callers already. They're in the tent. They are in. Should there be a 10-year moratorium on Muslim immigrants? Question mark. Should there be a 10-year moratorium on Muslim immigrants? Answer, there is. At least it's being discussed in Australia. You see, they're ahead of us. Asserting that Australia has been built on values based on Judeo-Christian ethics, Prime Minister John Howard's government has introduced a new test for would-be citizens. You can read the whole article. You won't believe this. It says, before becoming a citizen, it is reasonable to expect that a person will understand the core values that have helped to create a society that is stable, yet dynamic, cohesive, yet diverse. So they're going to make the immigrants pass a test, number one. Of course, the liberals are going crazy, and the front groups for Muslim extremism and terrorism are going crazy, just as the Nazi front groups like the German-American Bund used to do that in the 1930s. But instead of having the German-American Bund now, we have various Muslim groups that are just like the old German-American Bund. One day they'll be found out, and either they'll skip the country or they'll be in an orange jumpsuit somewhere eating falafel. But one of the with an election approaching, one party in Australia, the Christian Democratic Party, has called for a 10-year moratorium on Muslim immigrants, saying this will give Muslim leaders time to assess their positions on integration and related issues, including their stance on Sharia. You hear this? Now, of course, left-wing politicians who are suicidal and hate Australia have dismissed such calls as bigoted. You'll hear the same thing here. The very same vermin who attacked me in San Francisco would call this bigoted. But believe me, my day will come and they'll be in an orange jumpsuit. It won't be me. It'll be them. This country will survive. This country will never roll over to this pressure from abroad. It will never roll over to communism. And if they're going to keep pushing, they're going to wind up disenfranchised, not me. They may think they have all the power right now, but they don't. The people hate their guts. WOR in New York. Ben, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, Professor. I would hope that you'd reconsider your thoughts on Freud and also on Jung, as a matter of fact. Last week, you were espousing Freud as a genius, and for some reason you attacked Jung. Now, after decades of struggling against liberal intellectuals politically, academically, and every other way, I find that one of the real big guns that they use, really, to make their thought sustainable and respectable is they'll pull out Freud and Marx and so forth. And I mean, I'm being
okay.
Simple.
It's a very good point. No, let's deal with it because you bring up a good point. First of all, I'll go back to what I said. I said Freud was one of the great geniuses of all time. I stick by that point. It was not Freud who posited liberalism. It was liberals who co-opted Freud and used Freudian psychiatry as an excuse to promote their liberalism.
As far as it goes. But I would also counter this way and say, see, Freud was really the one, and that's how he broke with Jung, over the fact that Freud, he brought everything down to a common denominator of sexuality. Sex was the cause of everything. And that is when Jung broke off of him. He said, it's absolutely impossible that children are just agents of sexuality. And I mean, and this is really one of the mainsprings.
Well, hold on now. Wait a minute. You said just agents of sexuality. I don't believe children are just agents of sexuality, but I think children are very sexual. I believe that all children have a sexual core, and it can be ignited or it can be kept in his childhood chrysalis until the proper time for it to evolve into the adolescent and then the adult phase. But that doesn't mean that nascent sexuality is not there, Ben.
I know exactly what you're saying, and I think that that's quite true. However, it was really Freud's belief. I mean, his works are replete with it. I mean, essentially.
No, but I know what you're saying. They use Freudianism to push liberalism, but he was not. Whether he was a liberal or not is irrelevant politically. He didn't write politics. He wrote psychiatry and psychology. Okay. What was his major argument? Is that most of us are sexual and it's a matter of sexual repression that describes most of our neuroses and our psychoses, that if the sexuality is released, a person is healthier? Is that fundamentally a thumbnail of Freud?
Yes, to a degree, but I think he went further.
Sure he went further. That's what I'm getting at. That's not all he wrote. You know, you talk about the subconscious. It wasn't just about sexuality.
But I think he pushed it to the forefront to a degree where it became unreasonable, and I think that really it became he's the one that made it intellectually respectable to believe that sex was basically somehow controlling everything we did.
See, here, I think you're mixing up Freud with Kinsey. Kinsey was a total fraud and a sex maniac of his own making. Kinsey was a complete liar and a fraud. He is the one who has perverted Freud. He is the one who has perverted the nation. You know, I wrote a book a while ago. I think it's in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. I spent the whole chapter on this Kinsey thing. Remember the movie had come out and how they reinterpreted Kinsey? Kinsey was a certifiable evil crackpot. And Kinsey, most of his data was made up. He was a sex maniac who made up his data. And much of that fraudulent Kinsey data is used now by crackpot shrinks to justify their selling of the entire left-wing agenda. But I don't think that they're using Freud's data or Freud's interpretations analyses to push their agenda. They're using Kinsey.
Again, I mean, it would be far. We would need hours to really to be fair.
Are you a therapist, Ben?
Oh no, I'm not a therapist. I'm a historian.
Well, good. No, I'm not a therapist either. I'm just I've read. That's all. But you know, there was a book once when I was a kid in college called Freud, Marx, and Wagner. I'll never forget it at Queens College. I had a great education at a public university. In those days, Queens College, which is a city university, you know, it's a free college. And it was based upon the University of Chicago 100 Books program. Today it's based upon one book, which is Jenny Has Two Mommies. But in my day, it was based upon the University of Chicago 100 Great Books. It was a very rigorous, difficult degree to get a bachelor's degree out of Queens College when I went there. I had to learn two languages. I had to pass an exam in two languages to graduate. Would you believe that? Today they can't even pass English. If they know 200 words of English, they're given a AAA and sent to Harvard. But in my day, you had to know English and two other languages, and that wasn't so long ago, Ben. But one of the books I read in one of my classes was called Freud, Marx, and Wagner, Three Men Who Shaped the World. They truly did shape the 19th century, wouldn't you say?
I agree. And by the way, some of the most brilliant people I've ever met came from your college.
Well, I don't know who that would be other than me, but you know, who'd you meet?
Personal friends, and hopefully we can...
No, it was a heck of a university. It was very tough. It was a tough school. Because you had a lot of first-generation immigrant boys and girls who were driven like insanity to get ahead in America. They were the first generation released from the bondage of 1,000 years of oppression. They were the first generation with a college education, and they were chomping at the bit to go on in life. Now, I wasn't a particularly good student, by the way. I was more interested, for example, in the anatomy class, in the glint in the animal's eye than I was in the eye itself. So I was more dreamy, philosophical than I was pragmatic. And so therefore, a lot of these kids got straight A's and went on to become whatever they went on to be. But I went on to be what I am in my own particular way. I'm a very, very, very slow bloomer, if you want to put it to you that way. In college, it was hard for me because I took a lot of time thinking about everything, and they didn't. A lot of these kids were great memorizers. I'm a terrible memorizer. But, you know, that's one of the deficits of these tough colleges in those days, which is it was all built upon memory, largely, Ben. You know that.
Right, you are.
Right? See, I'm not a big believer in regurgitating information out of a book as an example of a person's intelligence. That it's a requirement for a certain degree of competence in certain fields, but it certainly isn't a mark of creativity or insight or the ability to have great insights in a field. So that's where I disconnect. But anyway, to go back to it, Freud, Marx, and Wagner. Freud, psychiatry, Marx in social philosophy or an economic philosophy, as you know, with the damage Karl Marx has done. He's caused the death of 100 million people at the very least. And Wagner in terms of music. Of course, they're all controversial, Ben. All of these men are highly controversial. I don't even know if Wagner can be played in Israel to this day, can he?
I believe they don't play it there.
No, I don't think so, because he was Hitler's favorite composer. Now, I don't know why that would make the Israeli not play Wagner, because I don't believe that Wagner was particularly fascistic. I think he was just an incredible genius. That a fascist happened to love this genius doesn't make the genius a fascist. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, you're a great guy, Ben. I wish I had a bobblehead to send you, but I don't. So how about if I send you a copy of a book? You want the Political Zoo? You got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Stay on the line. That's all. It's late in the summer. What day is today? I have no idea. What is the date? A normal person's not on the radio. What is this? The 27th of August of a year. Most people are already either going on a vacation for Labor Day. They're thinking, if they have money They're not even going. They're there already. They left. If they're a politician, they left in January on their vacation. They came back only to see if the pork barrel spending went into their district. They come back for Labor Day. They come back for Thanksgiving to sing and to give a turkey out to a poor person somewhere in a shelter in Washington. Then they disappear again. A normal person, though, is going to go on a vacation soon. Labor Day is a big holiday. It's so commie proletariat Labor Day. I mean, Labor Day goes back to when people worked, 7 days a week, and they gave the poor jerk day, another day off, another day for the slacker to not perform. Sits and what does he do on the day? He watches a golf game. He does something with a ball. Puts weight on his blubbery belly. Drinks a beer. Eats too many chips. Gets a salt attack. Oh, God, what a society. I just look around sometimes. I want to puke. I'm no different. I mean, I'm a product of my own society. You think of the La Brea tar pits. You say, well, why is his mind skipping? And I'm going to talk about it. What do I mean by the La Brea tar pits in Southern California? What does that have to do with a fat slob on Labor Day eating chips and getting drunk? It has a lot to do with it when you think about it the way I think. Now, what have they found in the La Brea tar pits? They found the remnants of various and sundry animals that lived a very long time ago on the earth and how they died. They can almost reconstruct. And the tar is such a wonderful preservative that the genius scientists who work in this field, and I think it's some form of paleobiology, but I don't know the exact field, they can get a bone from a tar pit in Southern California and clean it up and literally tell you what the animal ate, because the deposits in the bone will tell them what the diet of the animal was. I mean, science is so fabulous when you compare it to the average garbage on television. It's why I originally went into science. If you think I have angst right now about politics, you are right. But I had it when I was 17. I had the same exact angst. I looked at the world. What I saw was a vicious nightmare of a jungle of one man either robbing the other man or trying to screw his wife or kill him. The whole world was just that to me. That's all it ever looked like to me. Either he was trying to rob you while smiling at you, or to screw your wife or your girlfriend, or to cut your throat and kill you altogether. That's what the world always looked like to me from the time I was young. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a product of my upbringing. If you grew up with rose-colored glasses and your mother dangled a something over your crib and told you that it was Disneyland, I pity you, because you wound up a psychopathic liberal who doesn't even know the world you live in. I know the world I live in. You don't. You have no idea what the Muslim fanatic wants to do to you in this country. I do. And that's the difference between me and you. Okay, but we'll put that aside. So you go back to the paleobiology and you look at the bone in the tar pit, and what do these geniuses find? And what does it have to do with what I am talking about? The fat slob on Labor Day, eating too much, drinking too much, and rotting his mind out. I'll tell you when I come back. Savage. Politics later on. I mean, anyone could do the Gonzalez thing, and ask you what you think, and the Larry Craig toilet thing. I mean, well, let's go to the callers now. San Diego, KFMB, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a longtime listener since about 1995, and I feel like you're kind of my surrogate father.
Okay.
And I'm dating somebody who is 31. I'm 43. She has three children. I have no children. I am divorced a long time ago. But do you have any advice for me for how to, if this becomes a long-term thing, how I learn to work with these children? And
yeah, well, here's a couple of rules. I mean, what do you... Number one, do not hit them while she's looking. Always wait until she's out shopping. Two, do not try to smother a child that's crying if she goes to the bathroom, because women have a sneaky way of appearing when you least expect it. And three, never beat them above the head and neck. Keep it underneath the I don't know. It's such an open-ended question, Mark. So you mean how to learn how to be a father? You want to hear the number one rule?
Sure.
The number one rule? If you really love the children, everything will fall in place. If you really don't want them, nothing will work.
It's been going great so far. It's been a few months.
I learned that when I was young. I had my first child, and I had, an uncle who had no children who said that to me. And he was right, actually. He said, you know what? He said, you want to hear the number one rule? I think I asked him the same question. I don't know why him. I liked him. But he didn't know jack about children other than I liked them, because he had none. But he said, Don't worry about a thing. He said, if you really love your children, everything will fall in place. And he was right. You know, it's not that complicated. You don't need a guidebook for everything in this world, Mark. People have been having children since the beginning of time. Sometimes they do the right thing. Sometimes they do the wrong thing. Sometimes the kids wind up good. Sometimes they wind up bad. Most of the times they wind up middle of the road. You know what I'm saying? That's all you got to remember. You can't get too perplexed over this. Okay. You know, that in other words, enjoy the process. Enjoy the children. If you love that woman and the children and you love them, you're going to have problems and there's going to be issues, but I don't think there's a book you need on it.
Okay. No, I appreciate it.
But I'll send you a book on nutrition, because I'm going to send you Healing Children Naturally, because that is a learned thing. More and more information is coming out now. I have an article on my website that everybody listening to the show must look at. It's from the LA Times. It's amazing. I thought I knew it all about plants and, you know, vegetables and fruits and their benefits. This article actually goes to new levels of understanding. There are newer studies that are amazing on the benefits of various fruits and stuff, like pomegranates, black raspberries, even the apple. The humble apple, it turns out, and pectin are so powerful in preventing various diseases, including reducing the risk of prostate cancer. You have to read that article, and you have to get a copy of my book, Healing Children Naturally, which I'm sending you, so stay on the line. Houston, Texas. John, welcome to the Savage Nation topic, please.
Just paleontology in general. Dr. Savage, I want to thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
I've listened to you for years when I've been in the oil fields. I'm a geologist, and you kept me company many a day out in the oil fields while we were drilling.
Hmm. So you are a paleontologist. Have you ever worked the tar pits?
No, but I know a gentleman who have, and I've read a great deal on them. And you can determine from their bones exactly what was ate, whether some of the birds they find, they're the condors. And that
right. Thing. The elements of the food are deposited in the bone. It's astounding. I didn't finish that thought. I'll have to get to it.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, still running strong on ever-ready batteries, I suppose. Here we are. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number from anywhere in the United States of America, over 370 stations. And it's late August. Don't get me worked up here. It's the political system is damaged beyond, I don't know, beyond repair, but it's damaged beyond a certain point. Whether it could ever recover with honest men and women coming in, I don't know. If they go in the business, I don't know. Why would they go in the business if they were honest? In other words, if you're going to spend $30 million to make $200,000, what does that tell you about a senator? When Feinstein spent $30 million to become a U.S. senator, I used to joke and say, can someone help me with this? Why would somebody spend $30 million to become a senator that pays about $200,000 a year? It was a joke. How could you have any faith in a system that is so warped? You know? And we've learned about the favors that are being done for either siblings or mates, or what they call them today, partner. You can't use the word husband or wife. Everyone's a partner. Everyone's Gabby Hayes getting ready to do a Brokeback. They've so debased society and the language that you can't even say my wife or my husband. You can say my partner. I see normal heterosexuals doing that now. They don't even realize they've been homosexualized and whipped into the Brokeback vocabulary. Your wife's not Gabby Hayes looking to get it on with you behind a chuck wagon. She's your wife, for God's sakes. What do you mean your partner? A partner is a guy you went into business with that wound up screwing you and you had to have a hitman take care of it for you. That's your partner, not your wife. Your wife's not your partner. She's your wife. Or he's your husband. He's not your partner. That's gay talk. You know, I think I have to do a mini lexicon of gay talk that seeped into our society because people are losing their ability to even understand who they are, what they are, what society they live in. And don't blame Freud for that. Don't blame Freud for that. So we were talking about various things today in the Savage Nation. I found it over the weekend that most liberals listen to the show as well, that they're closet savages and savagettes. They love this show. I keep hearing from people that they have very liberal friends and they love this show and they listen. They don't listen to it to mock me either. And I don't have anything to say that, you know, to that. I know why they listen. It's like, as I said earlier in the last show, how do you raise a child? If you love the child, the child will turn out as good as it's going to turn out, by and large. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do in addition to just love. I mean, love is stupid. What does the word mean? If you love the child, you'll do a lot of great things with that child. You know what I mean? If you don't like the child, it doesn't matter what. The kid's going to know it, and he's going to wind up like an Englishman. So there's nothing you can do in that case. Where they were raised like with the nasty, mean, cold parents who eat cucumber sandwiches and don't really love them and send them off to school right away with the uniform. They have nice uniforms over there still to this day. Beautiful clothing, the best coloring of all. But the kids all wind up warped because they're cold. There's no motherly love. The father's probably in a dress somewhere in a private club. You know, I was reading the, what did I read about? Who was it who sentenced the judge like to wear dresses at the Bel Air Country Club? Oh, I was reading over the weekend about the guy who did Roman Polanski, the guy who's on the run for the 13-year-old girl thing. I read the whole story in great detail over the weekend, I think in the LA Times. It was fascinating that the judge who judged Roman Polanski way back in the 70s for doing that young girl. And there's more to the story than meets the eye anyway. She was no innocent in my mind. The mother was the real villain here. She set him up with the thing. I mean, the mother brought him around, brought the girl around, and then disappeared. What'd she expect to happen? What were they going to do, make cupcakes? The mother was the dirtbag here, but let's put that aside. So then she turns on him. Oh, he molested me. I was on drugs in the hot tub with him. All right. So he gets arrested, and he goes before a judge in L.A. somewhere. And the judge, whose name I forget, was famous for dressing up on weekends. They said one of the judge's favorite activities was dressing up in gowns and going to the Bel Air Country Club dressed as a woman. So you say, wow, well, that's a slam dunk. This judge was going to let him off the hook. Well, he didn't. He did the exact opposite. They said he was an unpredictable judge. Although he was a man who liked to wear dresses and he was a judge, he was not a lib, in other words. Even then, a cross-dresser was possibly more sane than today. Today, it's hopeless. In other words, you could have been gay then or a cross-dresser and still been rational and sane. Today, it's hopeless. They've all become political psycho-leftists. So anyway, the guy puts a dress on, then he comes back and puts on actually, you think about it, the black cloak and the dress, they're not so far apart. The toga, the dress, the cloak, it's all connected. Now I see it. So putting that aside, he comes in. Roman Polanski. By the way, Roman Polanski's best movie was Knife in the Water, his first big hit. If you're a film buff and if you've never seen it, you got to watch it. It's The Dog to Work. It's Take the Dog to Work Day. I do it every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 24/7. But since it's Monday, August 27th, I took him to work especially today. Now he's bothering me. So the judge would like to address us. So Polanski comes in. He says, okay, I'm remandering you to a mental facility for whatever it was, 3 weeks, right? They're going to inspect your brain. So Polanski comes back 3 weeks later from the bug house, from the ward, and he's haggard. He lost weight. He looks at him. He says, so he figured that was it. It was over. He accepted that plea deal. In other words, I'll go to the bug house for 3 weeks. So Polanski comes out on the child molestation rap, and he figures that's it. He thought he did a deal. The judge says, you don't look right to me. I don't think that this did you any good. You're going back for now for 2 months or whatever. So Polanski freaks out and says, wait a minute. I thought that was the deal. No, that wasn't the deal. The judge has this total authority over your life. So he splits. He's out of the country, goes to France. He's never left. Because, as you know, France is 99.9% pervert. And so they have no extradition treaty with anybody. They're the nation of child molesters and slackers. Therefore, they have no extradition treaty with anybody. So he's still there. But the point of the story is that even a cross-dressing judge hit him with a hard sentence. You know what I'm saying? In those days. That would never happen today. That wouldn't happen at all. It's not a bad side story. It's not that important. It's not related to Gonzalez. It's not related to real estate. It's not related to Charles Schumer and what shoe size he really is. None of that. Housing prices. Nothing. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what I'm interested in. That is the key to talk radio, boys and girls. I learned that in the first 3 days of radio. If you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite. I learned that about 40 years ago from John Burroughs, American Naturalist. He wrote that. But it's true in any endeavor. If you're a teacher and you love what you're talking about, the kids are going to listen to you and learn, those who want to learn. And it's the same with writing. You got something you really love writing, it's going to be good. It'll be as good as you can make it. But if you don't love what you're doing, it's going to be dreck. It'll be TV, a TV show. And radio is the same way. If you really are enthusiastic about what you're talking about, I could right now get out 6 different boxes of ammunition, for example. If I got you a 45, a 38, a 223, and a 25 caliber, a box of ammo, and I read you the powder consists, if I read it to you the amount of powder in each shell and what it meant and the velocity of that round, you'd find it interesting. If I was interested in that, you get what I'm saying to you or not? You have any idea what I am talking about in the show today? No, you're ready. Everyone's ready for Labor Day. You think I don't know? Well, I could be off this week. I had medical things scheduled. Did I tell you how that went already? This is supposed to be like the 5 days of medical hell for me. I put it off after the protest. So now I'm like that. So I'm supposed to go in today for the medical test. It started out so bad that I left the lab. I wouldn't take the lab. I go into this lab to get a blood drawn, right? I'm a reasonably accomplished individual. I pay through my nose for medical care. I go in there. It looked like a bus station in Tijuana here. And I said, okay, let's not overreact here. They treated me like I had. They treated me worse than they would have a guy just came in illegally across the Rio Grande. I walked out. And that was the end of it for me. I'm not going back. And if you think I'm going to let some strange doctor put a pipe up my behind and stick a camera in my rear end, you're wrong. I think I'm giving up. I don't think I'm doing any of it. I think I'm canceling the cardiologist because there's nothing wrong with me. I wrote the book on nutrition. I've eaten as well as I'm ever going to eat. I don't care what happened. I couldn't change my diet anymore at this point. I wouldn't be taking any more mega nutrients than I've been taking for 35 years. I'm exercising as much as I'm ever going to exercise. I have my own theory of exercise, which is never to push yourself to the level that I see 38-year-olds doing, which I'm fearing for them. They're going to have a collapse, a blowout, like a tire on the highway. You don't exercise that way. Use the Asian theory. Moderate exercise, just to the point of warming your body. Just feel a slight warmth, maybe a little tingling in your hands. That's it. I bicycle. I don't bicycle till I'm gagging and ready to have a heart attack, because that's what you're going to wind up with, which is a heart attack. You're not supposed to pant. You don't pant. Panting is bad. That's not the normal human condition. It's a disaster for you to pant. That's a theory that's so wrong. That's why you're breaking your joints and getting sick. So what I'm saying is I have my own methodology for health. And as imperfect as it may be for the next man, it's as good as it's going to be for me. So what do I need to go to a doctor for? So he'll run me through the treadmill and he can say, well, you got 4 arteries there and one of them is occluded 22%. Okay, so what am I supposed to do about it? Tell me what I'm going to do about it. Well, I'll take more niacin than I'm taking, fine. I'll eat a little more fruit with pectin in it, good. I'll bicycle a little more. I don't think I want to do it. So then what's the next one? The colonoscopy? I don't think I want to do that either. I don't think psychologically I would ever overcome the colonoscopy. I talked to other men about it. Not every culture accepts that you're supposed to lay down, take a hypnotic, and let someone stick a camera in your behind. Not every culture accepts that as a normal, viable medical procedure that is not going to have some lasting psychological damage on you. And I may be from that primitive throwback culture. I'm sorry. That's how I see the world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I have in front of me this large jar called Movie Prep. Not for a film. It's like for the colonoscopy next week. I don't want to take this garbage. Sodium sulfite, sodium chloride, potassium chloride, sodium ascorbate, ascorbate. You know what it does, don't you? You go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. I mean, it should come with like a 12-pack of toilet paper. So for 24 hours, you're supposed to purge yourself with this garbage, filling your body with more sodium than is healthy. I can guarantee your blood pressure is going to go through the roof. Has anyone not figured that out? That putting a person on this medication to purge the bowel prior to a colonoscopy could be dangerous for somebody who has high blood pressure? I don't have high blood pressure. I'm giving an example. But I really don't relish the thought of sitting near a toilet for 24 hours. You know, this whole thing is crazy. The whole society is so, like, anal. This whole society is about, you know, worrying about health every minute. Health, 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 health care, health care. We're all cripples. Everyone's a cripple. Health care, health care, health care, health care. Health, 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 health. Like a nation of ninnies. This goes back to the tar pit. You know, KNEW, San Francisco, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
About liberals listening to your show. Well, that's true. I'm a San Francisco heterosexual married liberal, and I've been listening to you about 3 years and realize that I agree with you 99% of the time.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Either that makes me a San Francisco liberal, which I don't think so, or it makes you something other than a San Francisco liberal, because if I'm a San Francisco liberal, what would that make the supervisors who stabbed me in the back last week, 2 weeks ago?
Let me tell you, that's what brought it to a head. When they made that resolution about trying to condemn the free speech, I answered your guy that answers the phone that I think I'm a liberal because it's a label that was put on me by my parents. We're immigrants from Germany. My dad's Russian. My mom's German. My dad was in the Union. It was the FDR way, the Kennedy way. And I think the label just...
But Rick, hold on. Liberalism was liberalism then. Liberalism today is not liberalism of the FDR, even JFK era. Liberalism has been co-opted and become a sort of crypto-fascist socialism. It's much different than liberalism, Rick.
Than it was in the 60s when I was growing up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most of my listeners were probably liberal in the 60s and the early 70s, and they've seen what happened to the so-called movement, if you want to call it that. It's been co-opted by the psychos and the socialists, and the ones who scream most about free speech have now tried to deny the others free speech. The ones who try to deny me free speech probably came to power by screaming about free speech and the individual.
Absolutely, and that's what brought it to a head, Dr. Savage. When that resolution came up, I'm tired of being called a redneck if I agree with the immigration bill. We came over legally. They should come over legally. I'm tired of this law.
That's right. And if they want to work here, God bless them. No public benefits for 10 years. No relatives sitting on their fat behind knocking out babies that become instant citizens. Of course we know who does the hard work. God bless them and welcome them all if that's what we need, if we can't find people to do it here. No public assistance for 10 years. No citizenship and no relatives sitting at home collecting welfare and having babies. How's that? That's a deal I could live with.
I agree.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much. I have tons of liberals who listen to this show. They're closet. They're liberals, but they listen to me behind the scenes. They identify to their friends as liberals because they would never admit they listen to the show. But I make a great deal of sense to them, and they know that. They just can't come out and say that they agree with me because they're afraid they'd be ostracized by their friends. What they don't know is most of their friends probably agree with me. This country is no longer what you think it is. In so many different ways. Monterey, California. Evan, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, this is, you were talking about panting until you're, you know, when you're exercising, you pant. I played high school football, and we'd exercise and do agility and stuff until we were throwing up. I was wondering if that was good for us or not.
Now, this is an interesting question. You're 17 years old. You can probably handle it. A man over the age of 35 should not exercise the same way he did when he was 17. That's number one. But even that level of exercising may not be advisable for young kids because there's a cluster of heart attacks popping up. I'm not so sure that that's a wise way to exercise a young boy for stamina either, which is to work him to the point of exhaustion and fatigue. I'm not so sure of that. are talking about Roman Polanski, Freud, Marx, Wagner, colonoscopies, Australian values, where they're going to enact a 10-year moratorium on Muslim immigrants. We are talking about Gonzalez. What can you say about that? We're talking about Larry Craig getting caught in the John with his well, we'll let that one go. But there's many different topics here we can talk about. My Giuliani dream, time shifting. WOR, New York City. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm a recovering alcoholic and a heroin addict, and it never ceases to amaze me when the incompetent, drugged-up hacks in Washington and in the media come up with these brilliant ideas. They want to legalize drugs, or like this most recent thing coming from the West Coast, this nebulous character who wants to put all the heroin addicts in the housing.
Can you believe that? That's the same idiot who took the side of the illegal immigrants and the fascists against me. He's taking the side of the junkies, saying that the solution to not having needles thrown all over the parks of San Francisco is to give them more needles in a centralized government needle distribution center, because they do it in Germany. It must be good.
Why don't they just give the heroin addicts legal smack and a gun?
Well, they wouldn't need a gun. If you give them smack, they wouldn't need a gun, right? They stay home and get high.
The fact is though, when this happens time and again, the more that these insane idiots keep on talking about this, the more people think that it's the right thing to do.
So yes, absolutely. So right, it encourages their junkiedom. It's the last thing that they need. And I brought up the counterpoint, which is, how about getting tougher? Instead of giving them heroin or giving them needles, how about doing what they do in some countries where they have a very, very, very low drug problem, like they give them a death sentence if they sell it and a long prison sentence if they use it.
They lock them up, and then at that time, if there is any hope for recovery, it can come from that time. It comes from without. It comes from within. It doesn't come from without.
Well, I've heard that from people who are addicts, that you have to be ready to give it up. No one can make you give anything up unless you're really ready to do it. Hey, Mark, thank you. I know you've called before. It's a terrible topic. Addiction is a terrible subject, by the way. And no one is immune. I think we're all addicted to something when you think about it. Some addictions are healthier than others and some less damaging than others, but we're all addicted to something. For example, I'm addicted to talk radio. What if I started a talk radio camp? We just talk for 7 days, 24/7. You don't stop talking. Can you imagine that? You teach people to talk cogently. It'd probably be good for kids to teach them to talk nonstop. Of course, talking nonstop, they can become a politician or a lawyer. How about talking with some meaning? Then you have to become a – if you can talk with meaning, then you become a talk show host. If you talk without any meaning, you become a politician. That's there's a word for it, by the way. Bill Clinton was a classic sophist, as is his wife. Look it up. I've used it before. It's not a great, genius word. Sophism, sophistry. That's what the Clintons specialize in. But today, almost all the politicians are sophists. Sophistry was an ancient Greek form of speaking that said nothing, in other words, eloquently. You spoke eloquently and said nothing. That was called sophistry. It was a school. However, we need more than sophistry in our political system, don't we? And we're not getting it. They're all basically the same. That's why we're all fed up with it. Now, what do I have for you on the sound bites? I heard of some very good sound yesterday. The man who created the conservative movement, not created it, Richard Viguerie, he's been on the show before. Viguerie was a direct mail guy, but he also worked for Barry Goldwater, and I am a Goldwater conservative, or you should say a Goldwater libertarian, because that's more what Barry Goldwater was. And Richard Viguerie goes back to that point, and I saw him on C-SPAN 2 from an earlier event called the Liberty Forum or whatever it was. Listen to what he says in clip 4, not 3, 4.
What went wrong? What has set us back so far from what was looking so encouraging just a few years ago? Most recent book that I've written, Conservatives Betrayed, How George W. Bush and Other Big Government Republicans Hijacked the Conservative Cause. Now, if I were writing that subtitle today, a year later, I probably would use something along the lines of, How George W. Bush and Other Big Government Republicans Set the Conservative Cause Back 5, 10, 20, or More Years. In a worst-case scenario, we may never have a chance to govern again, thanks to the big government Republicans, George Bush, Karl Rove, Tom DeLay, Denny Hastert, Bill Frist, and most Republicans in Congress, they supported a massive expansion of government domestically and overseas, and the American people were not having any of it.
Brilliant. It was a brilliant word. There's some other good sound bites I'm going to play for you over the next segment, like bobbleheads for Bush. And they have an audience, apparently. Many of you listen to me and listen to the bobblehead talk show hosts who tell you that, don't worry about it. He has a plan. Oh, yeah, he's going to enact it in the last 15 minutes of his presidency. Don't you see it there? Give him credit. Now, listen to, there's another good one. There's many good ones. This, clip 9 is superb. Listen to this.
In many ways, I think that conservatives are like the biblical Jews who had to wander through the desert for 40 years until that generation of corrupt and immoral leaders had passed away.
Wow.
And then they could get to the promised land. As conservatives, in my strong opinion, we are not going to get to the political promised land until we have new leaders. And we need for this leadership that many of them are corrupt, and they've engaged in bribing the voters. We need to replace them and have them pass from the scene. And then we need to move as conservatives away from this tight relationship with the Republican Party that has served us very, very poorly, into what I call a third force. Not a third party, but a third force. Think of the liberals. If the liberals convened a conference of all their environmental groups, you'd have maybe 350 different groups represented there. Think of their many consumer groups, many of them formed by Ralph Nader. Think of all their civil rights organizations. There are thousands of unions out there at the national, state, and local level. These are third forces. They operate independent of both political parties, even the Democratic Party. They have their own agenda. They have their own source of money, their own membership, and they pull everybody their way.
Well, you hear what he's saying, the future of the conservative movement, how it's been hijacked by the Republican Party. You've heard that on the Savage Nation for quite a few years. Listen to clip 3.
When I started in politics in the late 1950s, 1960s, if this were the microphones of the country, the American conservatives could not get their message past the blockage of the New York Times, CBS, NBC, ABC, Washington Post, Associated Press, Time Magazine. So first with direct mail that I was fortunate to pioneer many years ago, and then followed with cable television, talk radio, the Internet, we were able to go around that blockage right into people's homes. And I can make a case that Ronald Reagan would not have gotten the Republican nomination in 1980 without direct mail, without the 250,000 small donors that he used to run for president. There would have been no Republican Congress elected in 1994 without direct mail. There would be no conservative movement worthy of the name. We saw the power of that very recently with the illegal immigration amnesty bill. I've been in politics a long time, and this is the first time in my memory that the establishment that really wanted something, the big business establishment in this country, Republicans and Democrats got together and pushed this legislation, and I cannot remember another time that they were denied that which they wanted. And that was only because of the new and alternative media. If this battle had been fought 30 years ago, they would have gotten their legislation.
Right. It was talk radio, Mr. Vigory, and it was this show in particular that was responsible for defeating the amnesty bill, just as it was this show that stopped the Dubai ports deal. The problem here is that even Richard Vigory doesn't give credit where credit is due, unlike me, where I do give credit where credit is due, and I will continue to do so. They can't give back. That's the one biggest problem I found with conservatives, is that it's me, 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 me. They don't know how to go outside of their own selves. And that is another big problem in the conservative movement, Mr. Vigory. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website. This or any of the other topics are good topics. The perfidious character of some so-called leaders would be a nice topic for today if you'd like. But if you don't want to go into that, I mean, you want to talk about, for a minute, the firing or the firing, resign, whatever, of poor old Gonzalez, the non-entity attorney general. He was like not there. The guy wasn't there to begin with. Now he's going to choose Chertoff to be the attorney general. The man who's been running Homeland Security so superbly is going to now run the Justice Department. I don't believe this. What is wrong with this president that he would take Michael Chertoff, who most Americans who know what's going on do not think that Michael Chertoff is doing a superb job with Homeland Security? I can give you 10 reasons why, but I'm not going to bother. He could do a lot better in Homeland Security. Why take this man and move him around into the attorney general's position? I don't understand it. There's only one reason he'll do it, and that's because Chertoff is so liberal that he's acceptable to Bigfoot Schumer and the other monstrous liberals in Congress. I don't understand it for any other reason. Something is wrong with this picture. Rove is out. Gonzalez is out. You know, this is amazing to me. But if you want to look at Gonzalez, just from the point of view as an attorney general, he was, like I say, really, he didn't do anything one way or the other, not very much. But how could you compare whatever minor infractions he may, and I say may, have been implicated in, and as far as I'm concerned, none of them were really infractions of law, compared with the killing of 78 or 80 men, women, and children at Waco, Texas, for which Janet Reno, Bill Clinton's attorney general, did not serve 12 seconds in jail. How could you ever, ever make that comparison, that odious comparison? This is the problem with the American people. They don't even remember Janet Reno. They don't even remember what Bill Clinton did to this country. They don't even remember, and that's because there's a collective hypnosis, or amnesia, rather, in the United States today. There is a collective hypnosis induced by the major media. If you saturate people's minds with pornography and violence and filth 24/7, as Murdoch and his cohorts have done for so many years now, the people are incapable of understanding anything, and they are subject to the most draconian form of government imaginable. When the people lose their ability to discern what's right from wrong and what's wrong from right, when they don't even know their own political history, they are a people waiting to be taken and molded as you wish. It's a nation of bobbleheads. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, we just got the full roll call report on Senator Craig, arrested, pleads guilty following incident in an airport restroom. Now, before I go into the details, I'm going to tell you, I don't know whether he was set up here or not. I really don't know. But it's pretty amazing to me that a U.S. senator would even let himself get into a situation where he could be perceived to have engaged in lewd conduct in a man's, you know, in a male restroom. Let's start with that. You know what I'm saying? But then, of course, he's from Idaho, Larry Craig, Republican. He did this in Minnesota, and he could have figured that community standards in Minnesota treat this as normal. I don't know. You know, in Minnesota, this could be normal behavior. Maybe he figured nobody would notice in Minnesota, tapping a man's foot with his foot in the toilet. It's pretty descriptive here. So they send the sergeant in as a plainclothes officer, investigating civilian complaints regarding sexual activity in the men's public restroom in which Senator Craig was arrested. That's because the gays are out of control, as you well know. They feel that nobody will touch them and they can do what they want. We got it in San Francisco. Everywhere you turn, it's all about the homosexual sexual proclivity. Well, I wonder what Freud would say about a society that's so degenerated so rapidly. I wonder if this is a Freudian situation. According to the police, they made numerous arrests in the men's restroom of the North Star Crossing in the Lindbergh Terminal. Look, the North Star Crossing unto itself is a campy description of a place. They picked the North Star Crossing unto itself for the name in connection with sexual activity. Officer Carcinia entered the bathroom at noon that day, and about 13 minutes after taking a seat in a stall, he stated he could see an older white male with gray hair standing outside my stall. The man who lingered in front of the stall for 2 minutes was later identified as Senator Craig. Quote, I could see Craig look through the crack in the door from his position. Craig would look down at his hands, fidget. I don't want to read this. So anyway, he says after a certain point, Craig sits down in the other stall and taps his right foot. He goes on, he says, I recognize this as a signal used by persons wishing to engage in lewd conduct. What if the guy had a nervous tic? What if the senator just had like a, what if he was tapping out a tune in his head? I'll be down to get you, honey. And what if he was just tapping to a tune while sitting on a toilet? I don't know. I reckon governor's engagement. You mean if you tap your foot in the bathroom, that means you're gay looking for a little action? What if you're banging out a tune with your foot? This could be crazy. The whole thing could be a setup. I'll be down to get you in a pushcart. No, I don't know. Maybe he was doing a Beethoven's fifth in his head. Dun, da, 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 dun, da, da, da. You know, it depends upon what the tap was. You see, if I was the judge here, I'd ask Officer Craig what tapping exactly. What was he tapping out of? Was it classical? Was it jazz-oriented? Was he tapping out a popular tune? I don't know what he was tapping there. Maybe it was a tune. Craig would argue it was a tune. Maybe the guy has a nervous tick. It goes on and says, Craig, Craig tapped his toes several times and moves his foot closer to my foot. I moved my foot up and down slowly. While this was occurring, the male in the stall to my right was still present. Oh, there's another one there. He says, I could hear several unknown persons in the restroom that I don't even go into public restrooms. They're so disgusting. I go home. I don't care if it's a day later. I can't take it. The presence of others did not seem to deter Craig. Oh, he was, as he moved his right foot so that it touched the side of my left foot, which was in my stall area, close quote, the report states. Craig then proceeded to swipe his hand under the stall divider several times, and Officer Carcinia noted in his report that, quote, I could see Senator Craig had a gold ring on his ring finger as his hand was on my side of the stall divider. The officer then holds his police ID down by the floor so that Craig could see it. With my left hand near the floor, I point toward the exit. Craig responded, no. I again pointed towards the exit. Craig exited the store with his roller bags without flushing the toilet. Oh, this is too descriptive. Now, listen to what Craig says. Craig said he would not go. I told Craig that he was under arrest. He had to go and that I didn't want to make a scene. Craig then left the restroom. In a recorded interview after his arrest, Craig either disagreed with me or didn't recall the event as they happened. You know, I need a drink at this point. I got to get out some 18-year-old scotch here or something and a beer chaser. The report states, Craig stated, quote, that he has a wide stance. Craig stated that he has a wide stance when going to the bathroom and that his foot may have touched mine, the report states. This is wonderful. He has a wide stance? In October of 06, Craig's office publicly denied allegations that he was a homosexual made on a gay activist website. Craig's office told the Spokesman Review, that the charge was completely ridiculous, saying that the allegations had no basis in fact. I would say I'm on his side. I would say he was tapping out a song, and if the man has a wide, if he says he has a wide stance while in that position, that's his business. Case closed. It's a liberal hit piece. It's the gay mafia in cahoots with the Democrats trying to set up Larry Craig. That would be to me, that's as logical as anything here. I'm sorry. Why should I believe the officer and the gay website? What, they're credible? They're credible? The guy didn't actually do anything. He was tapping his foot, and his hand went down. He says he was looking for a piece of paper on the floor. To me, it's case dismissed. There's no evidence here, none whatsoever. I would say he's innocent. Okay, they said he pled guilty following the incident. He did that, I think, to get it over with. That's for sure. But, you know. And secondly, in Minnesota, this is a community standard, even if he was doing it in the bathroom there. In fact, maybe he did it in the bathroom with a Muslim foot bath, and that's why he got busted. That could be the reason it's a problem for him. In other words, if it was in a regular bathroom that he's soliciting another man, nobody would have noticed. They wouldn't have said boo. But he probably went in a bathroom and they just put in foot baths, and probably somebody was a little frum in there and a little religious, and they didn't like the behavior, and they blew the whistle on him. That's my only interpretation. Can't you see I have fun with certain things? Dead as a doornail out there today. They're all gone for Labor Day already. They're in the tar pits. The entire Savage Nation is in the La Brea tar pits today. But I'll be here another hour slugging it out. I don't care.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show,
the Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Out where a friend is a friend.
This is Gene Autry's famous Back in the Saddle. We've taken a poll here at the Savage Nation, and we believe this may be the song that Larry Craig was tapping his foot to in the man's restroom. So let's go back. We don't know yet. We haven't seen the police report because the exact cadence of his foot was not recorded. It could have been. He is from Idaho. He was tapping out, "I'm back in the saddle again." Now listen to it and tell me if I'm wrong.
Back
go ahead.
In the saddle again.
And he has a wide stance when sitting on the throne, that's all.
Rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i, yeah,
God in heaven. What a country.
Back in the saddle.
Frank states that he has a wide stance when going to the bathroom, and that his foot may have touched mine, the officer said. Okay, that would be my defense if I was his attorney. The man wasn't there. He had been traveling. He was tense. He had trouble with, that movement, and he was there a long time. So he tapped out a song that he knew from the range when he had a ranch, till I'm back in the saddle again. And the man next to him was misinterpreting the tap. And then it got painful, and his stance spread out and touched his foot. The next thing he knew, he dropped a piece of paper, and he reached for the paper, and then he was slammed against the wall and arrested. That's all. I think that's what went on here. But to rush to judgment that he was engaging in lewd and conduct in a man's bathroom, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a liberal setup to me. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Look, it's his problem, not mine. That's all. Look at the stories I pulled for today. I haven't looked at one yet. It's Monday. Leave me alone. Australia sets values test for perspective. No, I'm not going to do it. I can't. I don't have the head for it. I'm not into it today. I can't do it. I had a terrible meal. I'm sick from it from last night. A local guy knows me for years. I don't go to restaurants much, and now I'm doing takeout. It got worse than the restaurant. I don't know what to do. A guy gives me a plate. I've told him 100 times, look, I don't know how to put this in a way that you're not going to misinterpret. It's an Italian place, mainly pizza and pasta. The guy is nice. It's good food. But I've told him, look, your cooks are from Mexico. They're very nice guys. I love them all. I don't want to eat food like I'm working in a field, a cornfield. I don't need 3 grams of salt per bite. Tell him to leave out the salt and the pepper, and it's been good now for 3 months. So I had the spaghetti and the seafood. He gave me a salt in that dish last night, but I was famished and I ate it. My fingers blew up like each one was on Viagra. Each finger looked like it had an injection of Viagra in it by the end of the night. I couldn't open my hand. And to top it off, a side order I got. What else do you have? I have chicken cacciatore. Now, I've had chicken cacciatore. My mother used to make it. Hunter's chicken. And what is it? It's basically chicken with vegetables in a pot. And if you do it right, it's fabulous. You know what I got? I got 3 pieces of chicken with about 2 inches of lard. Again, what does he think I am, a laborer laying bricks in some ancient Aztec village? And to top it off, his container's leaked because he's cheap. You know, I am an expert on takeout. When you got one container sticking to the next one underneath it from 1950s cardboard, that one is so hot that it burns into the other, you know, forget about this. I got to start cooking again in the house. I don't know who's open here on a Monday. That's the problem. I'm not going very far anymore since the threats and the thing on the thing. I'm behind the gates. I don't go out much. And when I do, it's like with the Lupo and I don't go out. That's all. I'm not going out that much. My lifestyle's changing. It has to change. I can't walk with 1 foot in one world and one in the other anymore. I can't be the man of the people and the man of the streets and understand there are people who are gunning for me. I can't do it. So I'm eating at home a lot. I'll have to cook, that's all. We'll do runs for the spaghetti run. Idaho's Craig arrested in June. Oh, that's so a horrible story. The grandchildren alone, he couldn't control himself? You know what the Bible says? Not the Bible, the commentary on the Bible says that a man could spend his entire life building his reputation, and in one mistake, he could destroy his entire life's reputation. Boom. But the Bible come to life. the Bible come to life. This is from a society where the moral compass has been destroyed, broken. Someone took the moral compass of America, broke the glass, and pulled out the needle. So nobody knows which way is north anymore, or most of us have lost north, south, east, and west. So the guy sees every minute, 24/7 porno, wherever you go, every hotel, everywhere you turn. They got 10-year-old girls now doing ads. They got boys, girls. The degenerates who run the advertising and the movie business, they're so sick in the head. And it corrupts the mind. Don't you understand that? So even a strong man, who, let's say like him, who was struggling with an impulse thing and controls it sometime, at a certain point, it breaks down. But if a society has the Ten Commandments everywhere, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, and you have a basically moral society where the message is basically moral. Everybody has impulses, you idiot. I've told you this 1,000 times. You ask any religious person, they'll tell you the same thing. What do you think, we're made of stone? They have impulses too. What do you think they pray for? What do you think they worship God for? It's to control the animal within. Don't you understand any of this, you people, you psycho-liberals, that if you debase a society like it's been debased, you're going to degenerate the society where there's nothing left? So this is all because we have a society that was destroyed under Bill and Hillary Clinton. Destroyed by a permissive liberalism that infected the nation, and we're seeing the product of that destruction of our moral fiber. We're paying for it right now. Not that George Bush has been a great deacon of the church of his behavior, yes. He didn't do the blue dress. Let's give him credit. At least he can control himself, unlike Bill Clinton, who couldn't control himself and keep his pants on. You know, let's not forget what that did to a country. That man normalized oral sex for young children. Around the world, that man, the wolf man, I call him in the political zoo, the wolf man who puts on a show now like he's a god himself. The wolf man destroyed the moral fiber of America. One man can be so dangerous. One Caesar can destroy an entire nation. And one man can save it. One good man can save it. Do you know that? And I'm not that good man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running for anything. I'm just sitting here like everybody else. 1-800-44. What am I giving the number for? What do you want me to take here? Las Vegas, Bobby, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'm normally very impressed by how astute you are in most of the details, but the documented behavior of foot tapping is a known homosexual tactic, and it was documented in the book Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask.
You're kidding. That's what they do? They tap a foot in the bathroom?
That's how they signal they want sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
in other words, the next time I'm in a public stall, if a guy's tapping his foot, I got to look. I shouldn't assume he's tapping out Dixie on his foot.
Well, if he's tapping it near your stall, yeah.
Oh, my. Wait, please. This is more than I need to know. I can't stand public restrooms. I don't like them at all. Just from the hygienic point of view, I try to avoid them. But with the perverts, see, the perverts have gotten brazen. They figure the judges, half of them are perverts, and their case is going to be dismissed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you feel that this guy actually did what they say he was doing?
That is documented homosexual behavior.
Oh, my God. And what was this book?
It's Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. Came out in the early 70s.
And who wrote it? What was it, an attempt to pervert people a little bit more?
No, it was an attempt to basically create basic sexual education that up until the late 60s hadn't really been discussed openly. And it's how I, as a young teenager, learned the birds and the bees, other than the talk with my dad.
Really? I didn't know this. You see, I never read that book. I missed that. I missed that part. I was still reading Schopenhauer at that time. I'm joking. I wasn't reading Schopenhauer. I never liked him. He bored me to death. Hey, thanks. Now, something new for your knowledge. You see what you learn every day? Something new. How do you like that? Now, every guy listening to the show is going to go to a public restroom and sit there, you know, with his hand on the trigger of a gun he's packing, waiting for some perv next to him to tap his foot and give him a blowout through the door, through the stall. Most of us don't know this stuff. Don't you understand that? We don't know these things. Straight guys are like dummies in this area. We don't know this. The tapping, though. I thought he was playing this song that you think he was tapping to, and we'll go to a break.
Saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat, back in the saddle again, riding the range
hey, buddy,
once more.
You got a real
more.
Wide stance over there.
Toting my
hey, buddy, you got a real
old
wide stance.
Where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopie tie, I oh, rocking to and fro. I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum.
Listen to the lyrics. I'm starting to doubt Gene Autry now.
Saddle again.
Listen to this.
Riding the range once more.
Oh, God.
Toting my old 44.
Oh, my God.
Where you sleep out every night and the only law is right.
Oh, my God. The only law is right.
Again. Whoopie-tie-i-o.
Oh, that's it. Turn this off. Whoopie, hi-yo. I grew up playing this on a Victrola when I was a kid. How did I know it was brainwashing or broke backing? Honolulu, Hawaii, Lana, you're on the Savage Nation.
Okay. Oh, God, you crack me up. Okay, you know this foot-tapping thing that they're talking about?
Yes.
What if the guy has, like, restless leg syndrome or something? He can't help.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What if the guy was tapping to a Gene Autry tune? How do they know it's gay that you tap your foot in the bathroom?
I love you. Bye.
But are you getting a kick out of this, though? What are you going to do? You got to laugh at this. At the end of the day, all you can do is make a joke of this. It's so crazy.
You're right. I mean, aren't there more important things going on in the world than this?
Yes, there are. The power of produce and what to eat. I mean, I could talk about... Look, here's a couple of stories on my website. I'm going to show you why I didn't talk about them. Here. Where is the one with Iran? Here. U.S. secretly sends B-2s to Guam. Okay, that's the count of China. That's number one. Good luck. Now let them use them. That's my answer to that. Francis Sarkozy raises prospect of Iran strikes. BS. They're full of wind, all of them. You know, for a year now, 2 years, any day Iran's going to get a nuclear weapon, and we got 2 more weeks, and we're going to stop them, or the Israelis will. A bunch of crap. And by the way, the Iranian bum, that Hitler SOB who should have been off 2 years ago with all of his mullahs, the next time they give a speech, they should strike him with a B-2 and kill them all, as far as I'm concerned. Kill all! The next time that son of a gun Hitler gets up there, that little with the shoes, with his bum throwbacks, kill them all! See if I care. See if I care. Knock them all out before they take over the world. That would be my advice. But every day we hear, oh, if they do this, we're going to do that. So what do you think he's going to do? It's the same as Hitler all over again. Hitler invades Poland. He invades Czechoslovakia. And everyone says, oh, you can't do it one more time. We're going to stop you. So he does it again. They don't stop him. Then he says, now I declare war on the whole world, because he figures the rest of the world's afraid of him. That's just what this Iranian Hitler is doing. But you see, if you grow up in the wrong place and you think that everybody's nice, you don't understand these things. And now add to this 30 years of liberal brainwashing that he's simply a leader and they have a different way of looking at things and you should have let him look at it their way. Again, brainwashing and liberal maniacs that'll kill us all. Sure, they put B-2 bombers, B-1 bombers he puts in Guam, a B-2 to Guam. Wonderful. We gave trillions of dollars of our taxes for 100 years to these people, and they don't use the weapons we give them. Instead, they use Mrs. Smith's son in hand-to-hand combat in Iraq. And if, God forbid, Mrs. Smith's son should kill him a little too good, Mrs. Smith's son goes for a court-martial because we got the worst commander-in-chief in the history of this country. He can't win it and he can't lose it. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, you talk about the analogy of monkeys on a typewriter, that they don't know what they're doing. They're jumping around on a typewriter and letters are being tapped out. That reminds me of this entire government. They're all monkeys on a typewriter, not just George Bush. They're all jumping around on the keys thinking they're doing something because letters are coming out called bills. But you think these bills mean anything? It's all pork barrel spending. A bunch of crooks, the whole lot of them. Put one man in there who will not send B-2s to Guam, but do something with the B-2s. Or put somebody in there who doesn't tell us every 2 weeks, U.S. is poised to strike Iran. I've been hearing they're poised to strike. Forever it's been going on. Don't poise. Don't be a poseur like a cafe jerk here in San Francisco pretending he's writing a screenplay. Go and strike Iran or stay home and write your screenplay. That's my opinion. So that's why I don't want to talk about these stories. It's futile. It's all futile. Don't you understand this? Look, I got phenomenal stories on michaelsavage.com, but you don't want to read it, don't read it. You do want to read it, read it. I got a guy who works from 8 o'clock in the morning all day long with great stories. And so I got about 100,000 people a day go on the website. Good. But that's not a big number of people that want to read the stories that we collect. And they're different than most of the websites. Here, Mexican hit squads hit Texas. Are you interested in that? No. No, you want to hear they all come here to work and they're bringing wonderful things to America. And everything associated with the poor immigrant is good. And they're just like your grandfather from Poland. Go ahead. You want to live in that dream world? Live in the dream world. God bless you. Live in that dream world. I don't care what world you live in. I'm not out to change you. It's too late for that. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. We got good at foot tapping. I think the foot tapping story is the big one today. The Larry Craig arrested in June at Minnesota Airport. This has legs. Or shall I say this has feet? I think this story has feet for sure. I think this is going to be played a little bit on talk radio, Larry Clegg, and they're going to copy me with the Gene Autry. You'll see someone tomorrow. If the golfer doesn't run a tune and laugh about this, I'd be quite surprised. He hasn't had an original thought in about 15 years, and he's good at copying and not giving anyone credit. Let me know, anyone out there, if the golfer does this tomorrow, let me know. I want to hear it. I'll bust him on this show. If the golfer has the nerve to be sitting in Palm Beach and listening to me and calling, all right, hey, Murray, get that tomorrow. I want that song. Don't use the same one, Savage. You can't use Gene Autry. You got something else? Get me a Bing Crosby tune tomorrow, and I'll make believe that I came up with it. Let him think I'm still crazy and wild, even though I had lunch in the White House last week. Go ahead. Play the Bing Crosby song now. I predict this is what...
Give me land,
this is something that the golfer will play tomorrow while ripping me off.
Don't fence me in.
Now get me one that the wall banger will use one, the sound of hammers hitting a wall, to do the tapping tomorrow. I want to move on to something serious. This is ridiculous.
Savage.
Hey, Savage Nation, listen, I am so tired of the Islamo-fascists trying to infiltrate our nation at every turn. This time through a Muslim school in New York City, funded by your taxpayer dollars. But we have the Thomas More Law Center. These are the same good people who are defending Colonel Chesani. They're now taking on these Muslim fanatics. I spoke to Thomas More Law Center President Richard Thompson about what they're doing to stop this federally funded hijacking of our schools for Sharia law and the Muslim way. This is the United States of America, not Saudi America.
Well, the reason why we are interested in the Khalil Gibran International Academy is that based upon our research and analysis of what is going on, it is nothing more than a thinly disguised incubator for Islamist radicalization. Really, it is a danger to the Judeo-Christian civilization that we are supposed to be defending. What we have here is a organization under the guise of teaching students Arabic have taken over a public school system, which will be nothing more than immersing students in the Islamic culture. And it will be what the New York Police Department intelligence report just mentioned a couple of weeks ago, an incubator for homegrown terrorism. So we are very concerned about it, and we feel that there is a double standard that is being used in the New York City public school system, where just a few years ago they prohibited two Christian students, one a second grader and one a fourth grader, from displaying a nativity scene during Christmas, and yet the chancellor of the New York school system, Joel Klein, aggressively is pursuing this academy, which is nothing more than a propaganda center for the political ideology of Islam.
This can't be happening.
Well, right now, one of the big difficulties that we have is that the New York City Department of Education has refused to comply with several Freedom of Information Act requests that have been made so that we can get more specific as to what they plan to do. But basically, what this program was starting for was that they were going to teach Arab students and others to become more fluent, more fluent in the Arabic language. And it was under the guise of it was a national security issue to have more Arabic-speaking Americans that they promoted this school as a multicultural curriculum. But what really has happened is that this whole idea has been hijacked by organizations that we know are very strongly anti-American, pro-Islamic nation, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, and they are now developing their own school with taxpayer money. So on the one hand, we know very little about the details of it because the New York public school system has been stonewalling requests for information that we requested under the Freedom of Information Act request. But we also know that based upon comments made and based upon an executive summary that an organization developed for the New York Department of Education, that this is a very highly propagandized school that is going to be for really a fertile ground for radical Islamists to recruit new members into their organization and ultimately into performing acts of terrorism.
Where is this leading us?
Well, the New York Council of American Islamic Relations is an organization that has been actively involved in promoting this public school. Now, to show how dangerous this is, their founder and chairman publicly stated back in 1998, the national founder and chairman of the Council of American Islamic Relations, stated back in 1998, and I'm quoting, "Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth," end quote. This is one of the organizations that is promoting KGIA. Another disturbing aspect of those promoters is that member of the KGIA advisory board, Imam Talib Abdul Rashid. He's the resident imam of the Mosque of the Islamic Brotherhood. And if you go to that the website of that brotherhood, you will find on the About Us page the following ominous slogan. And I'm quoting again, "The Quran is our constitution, jihad is our way, and death in the way of Allah is our promised end," end quote. Now, these are very ominous statements of people who are supporting the Khalil Gibran International Academy. And I can't understand why taxpayer dollars are being spent to promote such a school when if they're interested in the Arabic language, they can make that a part of the regular school curriculum so that all students could take part in that course. But they're using this merely as a guise so that they can inculcate radical Islam into these students who are already isolated, who are not, you know, really imbued with the American culture. And that brings us to another point, and that is just a few weeks ago, the New York Police Department Intelligence Division prepared a report entitled "Radicalization in the West, the Homegrown Threat." And what they were promoting was the idea that we should be fearing homegrown terrorists, not those that are coming from overseas. And one of the things that they said was, and they went through the four steps of how we get these homegrown terrorists, and the steps involve the pre-radicalization, self-identification, indoctrination, and jihadization. What they basically said was there is an environment in which these homegrown terrorists thrive in, and which then become target-rich an environment for radicalizing students. And that is if they are isolated in enclaves of ethnic populations so that they don't see the other aspect of American culture. And so what we have here is a public school, rather than assimilating students into our culture, they are further isolating them. And by isolating them, they are becoming target-rich individuals for these radical Islamists to, you know, recruit and then use as terrorists in the future.
That is astounding.
Joel Klein, the chancellor, is trying to guarantee people and try to assuage fears that, no, this is not a madrasa. And by madrasa, we mean a school that is focused on really teaching students the Quran and nothing more. What he's saying is that don't worry about it, because we will be monitoring this. And if it is religious, we'll stop it. Well, first of all, we have to look at the practical difficulties of trying to monitor what is going on in that school. One of the difficulties is that they're going to be talking in Arabic. And how many teachers do we have that can go around and monitor what is being said in Arabic? One of the programs of this Khalil Gibran school is to have outside Arab speakers meeting with students during the lunch period and discussing things with them. Now, there is no control of what subject matter will be discussed. And so in the executive summary, they talk about this imaginary student by the name of Fatin, who heads for the cafeteria for lunch, where a retired Arabic-speaking community members come daily to converse with the students to strengthen their so-called Arabic fluency. Now, once that happens, who is controlling what those people are telling the students? Is it about Hamas or Al-Qaeda or the Palestinian issue? Is it Muslim versus Jew, or is it an anti-American diatribe? No one will know, and Joel Klein cannot guarantee that he is going to be able to monitor all these conversations going on in Arabic during the lunch hour. The other problem with that, Michael, is that what you're going to have is a situation where the public school chancellor says he is going to be monitoring to determine whether there is religious expression going on. The mere fact that he is going to be monitoring that could very well be a violation of the constitutional prohibition against excessive entanglement by government in religion. And so even if he wants to do that, school authorities could very easily challenge his ability to do that, saying that you don't have any right to do that. It is an excessive entanglement, and therefore it's a violation of the Constitution. So his promises, Chancellor Klein's promises to the people that he's going to monitor that, I think should be taken with a grain of salt.
What else would we expect?
Well, our co-counsel, David Yerushalmi, who started this case before we did, filed the Information Freedom of Information Act request on July 23rd of this year, and asking for more specific details. The Department of Education has stonewalled that request, and so what is planned for the next in the next couple of weeks is a lawsuit against the Department of Education for violating the state statute dealing with the Freedom of Information Act requests. So that lawsuit will be filed within a reasonably short time. The other thing that is going to happen is that we are going to monitor what is going on in that school to determine if there are other violations of the state educational code. As I indicated before, very little is known about this school, the structure of the school, whether they have certified teachers, what are the subjects they're going to teach, what textbooks are they going to use. And so we're going to have to wait till the school opens before we, you know, discover those facts. And if we discover that they are violating state law, state educational code, we will file a lawsuit. If we discover that they are involved in religious expression and rituals of the Islamic faith, we will file a lawsuit under the Constitution. There cannot be a double standard, one for Christians and Jews and other religions, and one for the Islamic faith. And I think too often across this country, there is that double standard, and public school officials who would normally immediately ban any expression of religion by Christians are allowing and bending over backwards to allow all kinds of religious rituals by Islam and Muslims on the basis of diversity or multiculturalism, and that has to stop.
This is hard to believe that this is still going on. It can't be going on, but thanks for the update.
Michael, thank you very much for having me on your show again.
Savage.
Savage Nation. It's a crazy, crazy world. It really is a crazy world out there. And we know that just to finish this up for a minute on this Muslim school in New York, it's very controversial. The principal was fired or dismissed last week because she had a T-shirt that said jihad something or other. Look, you know that they're fighting a war against the West on many fronts. Military where necessary. Terrorism where necessary. Legal where possible. Through the American media, through the Western media, all the time, because they've got a soft touch there. And it's groups like this Thomas More Law Center who are the front foot soldiers for us. No, the government's not protecting us. The government's filled with a bunch of people who don't care about any of this. They care only about raking in the money. They don't care how long the war goes on. In fact, the longer the better. It's very cynical. I understand that. But when you see a president who can't win a war because he doesn't want to win a war in some cases, people are saying that, you have to ask yourself, why haven't the Democrats stopped them? The answer is because they're rolling in the pork, they're rolling in the gravy. When you realize that the biggest recipient of the pork barrel spending is John Murtha, so-called Democrat, what does that tell you? It tells you that when both parties agree on something, the American people are getting screwed. That's what it tells you. And so that's why the war isn't going to end soon. There's no question we could win this war in 30 days or less. There's no question about it. We have the weaponry to destroy the enemy in his strong points and then do what's necessary to induce peace or get out of there and let them cut each other's throats. Now, what are we staying there for? You really think you're going to take these guys from the 13th century who've been cutting each other's throats over whether the Saint Sunni or Saint Shia, the Saint of Sunni Islam or the Saint of Shia Islam is a better saint? That's why they're killing each other. You think you're going to end it? Why? Why should you end it? What do we have that's going to end that? They're not ready for democracy. That's why they had a dictator. People get the government that they deserve. They got exactly what they deserve, which was a dictator who kept them in line. And now we've replaced it with what? This is your idea of democracy? More people are dying now than died under Saddam Hussein. I mean, this is terrible stuff to admit. By any token, but it's not the first time I've said it to you. We all know what's going on over there, and it's not very good. And the people caught in the middle of the crossfire are the American soldiers. It can rip your heart out when you look at what they have to go through. We have the weaponry to destroy the enemy in the Sunni Triangle, where 85% of all the terrorism is coming from. And it's not coming because of religious reasons. According to what I read, it's coming because they can't find jobs. They've been displaced from running the government under Saddam Hussein, who was a Sunni. And they're getting paid to be terrorists. It's a monetary thing for them. Just as Hitler organized the early Nazi party through jobs, so are the Sunnis being funded, probably by the Iranians. So we know where all of this goes back to. It goes back to the Hitler of our time, the little shrimp over there who has an egomania problem, who wants to be the dictator of the world, the new Mahdi, you know, the new creator of the new caliphate around the world. And there's only one solution to this problem. And none of the Western leaders apparently have the nerve necessary to do it. We heard Israel. Israel's lost its nerve a long time ago. All we hear every day is Syria's doing this and Lebanon's doing that. And what do they want us to do? We're not going to fight their battles for them. If they're too busy watching internet porn and traveling to Switzerland on vacation and going on safari in Africa to defend themselves, they're going to disappear and be regobbled up by the desert sands within 50 years. That's all there is to it. If they're not training their children to be sabras, willing to fight and die for that Holy Land, there will be no Holy Land. Because their enemies are relentless, their enemies are genocidal maniacs, and their enemies will destroy them and take down everything that was built over the last 50 years. That's the utter ugly reality in this time warp called Michael Savage's mind, because I can see both backwards and forwards, and I'm telling you exactly what I see. And I'm sorry to bring it to that point today. I realize that we were doing good with the foot tapping, but this is why I didn't want to do politics today. It's too depressing to talk about this. They have all of the weapons in the world, both in Israel and in America, and they don't let the military use them. They have quislings for leaders around the entire West, compromised at every turn. Maybe they want to do it, but they can't do it because the other guy told them that we have a deal over there with the Saudis. You can't do this because they do that. They do this, then they do that. And the UAE, they have this. Then the, and Bob Dole works for them now, and so does the other one. She comes every other day. The Yenta flies in with a bad dress. Secretary of State, so-called, Madeleine Albright. Either she's prostituting herself for the United Arab Emirates one day, or she's lecturing on C-SPAN the next day about how bad Bush's foreign policy is, and we're supposed to believe a word that comes out of that hag's yap. That's it for today. I've given you all I can give you today. We've had some fun, we've had some learning, we've had some laughs, and that's all a man can do. It's all in a day's work. And now, if you don't mind, you will go on to michaelsavage.com, and you will partake of all of the stories I did not get to, and some of those that I did get to. And before the end of the summer, you will buy one of those books or a tape, and that's it. If not, is not. Life will go on.
Savage.